Hello and welcome to Geek News General. Today's episode, Martin Scorsese's doing a Joker movie. Oh my god, that sounds good. Today on Geek News General. Find new episodes of Geek News General on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, and geeknewsbatchnews.com. Geek News General is a production of comicbookinternational.com. That's comicbookintl.com. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at comicbookintl. That's at comicbookintl. Hello and welcome to Geek News General. My name is Benjamin David, your host and managing editor here at comicbookintl.com. Today's a pretty exciting episode for several reasons. One being that first, it is our first format change. First episode with a new format change. Before we were Geek News Bat News, in case you're tuning in for the first time. Ever since February, we were Geek News Bat News, so we were just doing Batman stuff. Now we're branching out. Today is a Batman episode, and let's skip right to it, and then we'll talk about the newer format next episode, and so on. The idea is, just like it says in the title, it's Geek News General as opposed to just Batman. But again, today, this is a very necessary episode for any Geek News show, because Martin Scorsese is making a Joker movie. This is massive news. There was a million ways I could have gone about making a show of this. I could have sat there forever and come up with the best words to describe what Martin Scorsese means to me and written a perfect script for the show. This is the first time I've kind of freeballed the show to a large extent. I'm throwing this one together, I don't think necessarily in a way of like carelessness. I listened back to the reaction slash thoughts that I recorded on my iPhone with my portable mic. I just really wanted to get it down, so I just busted out my iPhone. I have the digital portable mic. It's meant for interviews, and just got those thoughts down as I was reading the Deadline report, reporting on Martin Scorsese making a Joker movie. So without further ado, this is me, Benjamin David, your host, and his reaction to Martin Scorsese making a Joker movie. This announcement that came out August 22nd, 2017, and this was my reaction on this very night. Okay, there's a million ways to start this episode. I'm just going to jump right into it. I was going to do it. The best way to sum it up and start it off, Scorsese's doing a fucking Joker movie. That's what's happening. Martin Scorsese is doing a Joker movie. As it says on Deadline.com, the Joker origin story on deck, Todd Phillips, Scott Silver, Martin Scorsese aboard Warner Brothers / DC film. My friend was coming into work. He's the head chef, and I was leaving work, and he's like, dude, Scorsese doing a Joker movie? I was like, what? Of course, he led up to it much more dramatically than that. He was like, I was on Twitter, this thing pops up, I couldn't believe what I saw. And I was like, wait, what? Immediately in my head, I'm just like, it's perfect. And he said, it's a Joker origins. And I was like, Taxi Driver, we see a man lose his mind, we watch a guy lose his mind, but from his point of view. So no matter what, you're always sympathizing with him because it's his point of view. If anyone can show us a guy losing his mind and have that be believable and have that matter, his story matter to us, it's Martin Scorsese. And all this Taxi Driver stuff is hitting me before I even read the Deadline thing. So then I'm reading the Deadline article, and it says, an intriguing part is the setting. The intention is to make a gritty and grounded hard-boiled crime film set in the early 80s Gotham City that isn't meant to feel like a DC movie as much as one of Scorsese's films from that era, like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, or The King of Comedy. Again, that's the first thing that hit me, and I'm so glad. And obviously, I mean, that
I'm sure that's the first thing that hit a lot of people. I don't think that I'm like extra intelligent for that. I'm just so glad that my initial reaction, my initial knee-jerk, like, holy shit, that's perfect, went right to Taxi Driver. And kind of setting it in that world. Why not? Oh my God. But when I read that they're actually setting it early 80s, are you kidding me? Ugh. Oh man. I mean, and there's so much to think about too. Like, does that mean that Batman's alive at the time? If you make him older, that means you don't have to worry about Batman. It seems like not having Batman in it would make it a lot easier. If we're doing a Joker Origins, you don't need a Batman. I think you need the Wayne family, definitely. You need to have Bruce Wayne be present, but it doesn't have to be Batman Bruce Wayne. Oh man, it's just so much to fucking think about here. So, to read a little more, it says exclusive. Warner Brothers and DC are in the early stages of another Batman Universe spin-off movie. This one telling the origin story of the signature villain, the Joker. The studio has set The Hangover's Todd Phillips to co-write a script with 8 Mile scribe Scott Silver. Phillips will direct the movie and Martin Scorsese will produce it with Phillips. This will be the first film under a new banner that is yet to be named in which Warner Brothers can expand the canon of DC properties and create unique storylines with different actors playing the iconic characters. So we're splitting away from the DCEU. This is definitely something that you can't help but talk about here. You ask me? Thank God. That's my own personal opinion. No, my first question to my friend when he reported it to me tonight before I saw this thing on Deadline, he was like, or my first question was, is it Jared Leto Joker? Jared Leto Joker? And he's like, no, it's not. And I was like, thank God. Because I just, that, if you're doing Origin, I just personally don't really care that much about the Jared Leto Joker. When I say that, it's not against Jared Leto. I just personally, that's not really my style of Joker. I couldn't call that guy my Joker in any way. Whereas if you do a new, it's immune to the DCEU. If you do a movie that is set in a whole nother place and time and does not tie in any way, doesn't acknowledge the existence of those other movies, you can do an almost anthology take on it. And, this is Warner Brothers. They're one of the top studios in the world. Who says they have to be tied into the DCEU? The DCEU hasn't been doing them any favors, so it makes a lot of sense. And I think my friend was saying that too, that, they're kind of excited to move on a little bit and kind of be outside of that because, if you think the Flash movie, that's been a dumpster fire project from the start. Let's admit it. Cyborg, I don't think that movie is ever really going to happen. Is Man of Steel 2 ever going to happen? Who knows? Does Justice League look as good as it probably could? In my opinion, no. So, is it cool that we're going outside of that and playing around with whatever? I mean, look, you own the Joker. The Joker is sitting there. That character is sitting there. And again, this has nothing to do with Jared Leto. I don't think you're doing a property, and let's even look at it from business terms. Let's look at it from Warner Brothers' perspective. Let's look at the profile of Batman right now, how popular the Joker is. We're in a post-Dark Knight movie. Anything that the Joker is in, people are gonna go see and go crazy for, no matter what, no matter who's playing it, or at least to give it a shot. You attach Scorsese's name and let him run wild with this thing. Again, he's producing it. He's not directing. We got the director is The Hangover is Todd Phillips. I think that's hilarious. You got your comedy. You got your. What's great about Scorsese as well is that this is an auteur. This is a guy who writes, directs. I'm sure he edited a lot of the movies. I haven't looked. I'm not on his IMDb right now. He seems like an all-around auteur, meaning he kind of does it all. In case you're not familiar, most filmmakers don't necessarily do it all. They'll direct and then hand it off to somebody else or studios, and it's not even the director's fault. It's this, that's how the studio puts together films. You know, films are made by studios, and if the studio, in this case Warner Brothers, wants to put together a Justice League movie, they say, okay, you guys write it, you guys direct it, you guys do this. You know, it's kind of this Frankenstein together thing, and as we've seen with Warner Brothers, it hasn't been working with this current DCEU up to at least, I would say, Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman was fantastic, but you know, that wasn't much of a team up movie. That was her movie. And look, I want these movies to be me more than anyone for these things to be good, but you know, they haven't been doing so great with their Marvel like attempt at tying these movies together and making that kind of thing. So having a movie that does not have to tie into that, and back to the Scorsese thing, I mean, this is a filmmaker who has complete control, I'm sure. I doubt anyone is going to give him any kind of notes, and he does what he wants. So if you have him as a producer, not just a director, a producer, you know, he's probably finding financing as well. Like, he's doing a lot of stuff to protect the filmmakers and letting them make their own thing. If you get the guy from The Hangover, I mean, that's a well-made movie. That's one of the most quoted movies. Like, talk about quoted movies as well. The Hangover, oh my God. And there's some great comedy in that. You know, the movie 8 Mile, it might not be a home run as a movie, but it's definitely a great story. So you got the writer of that, and it wasn't a bad movie. I don't know, I didn't see the whole thing, but from what I hear, it wasn't bad, and a lot of people think it's great. And I know the story. From what I saw, I was like, wow, this is decent, and it seems like a good story. So I'll go with it. It seems, you know, of all the people that could write it seems a little strange, but why not? At least you have someone serious with the 8 Mile style, and then you have oh wait. So Phillips will. Oh yeah, okay. So Todd Phillips is both co-writing and directing, and I was right about that. So yeah, then you have the director of The Hangover. You got your comedy. I mean, the Joker, you need comedy. You need someone doing effective comedy. This character has to be funny, and that's going to be fucking crazy to watch. This guy's going to be hilarious. It wouldn't work if he wasn't. And I think he might even be funnier than. And not to say that the movie has to like function as comedy, there just has to be effective comedy in it. Who knows? It might be like the darkest comedy. I don't know. It has to be kind of serious, I think. At the end of the day, he's got to be a psychopathic murderer. But oh man, to see a dude lose his mind the way we do in Taxi Driver and have it set in the early 80s, you're just gonna have all kinds of. I don't know. I will say this. Here's one worry I do have, is that you're gonna go a little too Scorsese with it. Like, you know, we've already seen Taxi Driver, and even if Scorsese himself is working on it, I just hope they don't do Taxi Driver entirely again. But who cares? I mean, if there's some homages here and there, oh man, there's just so much cool stuff that they could do with this. It's interesting to think. I mean, do you do Killing Joke? That's an origin story that we've. That's the most well known, I think. One of the only, one of the few. Like, I don't know. Don't hold me down to that. But it's definitely the most popular Joker origin stories, in Batman comic history. And you know, I'm sure Daryl will be smart enough to pull from that to an extent. Is he going to be a comedian? So in The Killing Joke, if you're not familiar, he's a comedian. He's a failing comedian, and I think they name him in it, Jack Napier. I'm not sure if that's where that name came from, but you know, some origins of the Joker, he has in some iterations of the Joker, he has a name which was like it used to be Jack Napier. Now he's a Joker. They did that in the 1989 Batman film, the Tim Burton Batman film. He was Jack Napier. In Nolan, as we know, we have no idea who this guy is, and that was part of his joke to everyone, is to tell each person a different origin story of himself. And even joke to the audience. I mean, Nolan never ever ends up telling us who the hell this guy is and where he came from, and that's part of it. That's part of the joke. That's part of his character. That's part of his, again, I guess just joke on everyone. Chaos, his anarchism. So, but with this, it's going to be, I mean, if you're going to give us an origin, we're going to get a name, probably. I mean, if origin probably means we're going to see this guy from birth. And I mean, this is an origins director. This is definitely something I got to talk about too. He's an origins director. Scorsese is a guy who gives us almost all of his classics or origin movies. Seeing someone come from nothing or turn into something, or and then typically rise up and turn into some kind of monster that ends up being self-destructive. Wow, I didn't even think about the Joker as I was doing that, but perfect. I mean, right? You have someone who is, you got your Henry Hill. This is a nice, charismatic guy who it's always from his point of view, but he's a gangster. He still murders people. He still is involved with all these guys, but we see it from his point of view, so it's like okay to us. and I think we're gonna get a lot of that same kind of sympathy of like seeing it from the criminal's point of view and getting in the heads of these guys. And who knows what kind of, I mean, this is the king of narration too, the voiceover, the internal monologue, the narration. That if you get, oh man, a narration here, good God. But yeah, I mean, again, the guy Scorsese is a master of origin stories. Henry Hill, we see him from a kid, rise up, meet these gangsters. You go through the first time you ever meet Robert De Niro. Oh, Jimmy Conway must have been 28 the first time I saw him. You get a freeze frame on Jimmy Conway. It explains who Jimmy Conway is, Robert De Niro. Then, it cuts to Paul Sorvino, does a freeze frame. Paulie, that's all it was like a police force for wise guys. It was like if you couldn't go to the cops to be protected, these are the guys you go to. As it's freeze framing once again on Paul Sorvino, explaining who this guy is. It breaks, he always explains to you a world. He opens to you a world. He opens to you a universe, very much like comic books. Once again, I mean, that's so comic booky. That's also hitting me as I'm saying it. This is a guy who creates universes, believable, tangible. I mean, Goodfellas is timeless. Taxi Driver is timeless. These films are the iconic mythology of modern day America. These are the new westerns are the Goodfellas. The new westerns are, the new cowboys are the gangsters. The Departed, oh my God, talk about an origin story. We see Matt Damon from birth all the way up to, what happens to him if you haven't seen it. Spoilers, I'm not going to spoil it, but we see a lot of, and then the rise of, what's his name too, DiCaprio at the same time. It's really fascinating to think about that style of filmmaking applied to not only the world of DC in and of itself, but the Joker is perfect. Like, if Scorsese did Batman, you'd be like, what? Scorsese does Joker, you're like, yes! It's like, it clicks like a fucking, I mean, oh my God. I've never, and this is interesting too, because how many I guess you had Nolan. Nolan's high profile. Tim Burton was high profile, but that was just such a bizarre movie. But, none of these Marvel movies, this is another interesting thing. None of these Marvel movies are directed by your kind of big directors. I mean, there's no, Steven Spielberg presents the Avengers. I mean, Joss Whedon's a big director. I guess he's a big director. But like the Russo brothers just did, Civil War, Captain America Civil War. They did Captain America Winter Soldier. They're doing the Infinity War. I think both one and two. So these are guys who, but they came from making the show Community, Marvel is known for, in those Marvel Studios movies, not paying high profile filmmakers. It's more just like you go to see, number one, Robert Downey Jr., so you got some star power there. But even then, they were cheap back then. I mean, this was, you got to think, this was pretty much an, I was talking about this tonight, this was pretty much an independent film studio when it first came out. It was Marvel Studios, before they had that Disney money, before a mouse with pants was paying Marvel's bills. You had Marvel Studios, which, Stan Lee and some people got financing, I'm sure, to enough degrees to make these movies. But, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't worth that much back then. He is who he is because of those movies and Iron Man, and that combination, works so well. But that was a kind of a happy accident. The point is that you don't have top list filmmakers making comic book movies. And beside, again, we got Nolan. Beside that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but none of the big Marvel movies are by anyone who's, a super high profile name. Even Patty Jenkins, who just did Wonder Woman, that's like the best, that's the best DC movie yet, pretty much, in this new DCEU. And that, Patty Jenkins hadn't done a movie since Monster in 2013. That's 14, 2013, 2003. In 14 years, Patty Jenkins hasn't done a movie, and now she's, making Wonder Woman. So, this is huge in terms of filmmaking meeting a comic book property. It's historical. Any property that Scorsese puts his hands on turns into history, so that's kind of redundant. But this is massive because I also think it's also massive because there's such a high expectation as well for the Joker. I heard someone say at work tonight, as my friend was, reporting that to us, that he goes, that's, that can be career suicide for any actor. I haven't seen anything about actors on here. It doesn't say anything about on Deadline about actors. It seems too early to tell, but any kind of casting info, but he's right. I mean, that's to live up to Heath Ledger at this point is so fucking impossible. So you'd have to kind of do your own thing. I will say the kid on, I guess he's a man at this point. I forget his name. He's on Gotham and Shameless. Excellent fucking actor. If you put him in that, I would be like, go for it. He could totally do it. They probably won't do that just because of like recognition type stuff. But wow, if there's anybody capable, it's that guy. And he looks like him. I mean, he's fucking perfect. That's one thing that Gotham show, they nailed aspects of the Joker. I didn't think they wrote it great to a large extent in terms of like what they did with the character on a grand scale, like what they chose to do with him. But whoa, like, and then when he came back from the supposed dead, again, I don't know why they killed him off, but then he mixed, like, originally it was kind of Cesar Romero-ish and kind of Heath Ledger-ish, but it was more almost like Cesar Romero with his own real dark kind of believable twist. Then he comes back as like this Heath Ledger-ish. So he's capable, and I'm not trying to go deep into the Gotham performance, but like after his face is cut up and stuff, he comes back and does this kind of Heath Ledger meets Cesar Romero meets and some Nicholson in there too. It's really interesting. But then his own style. I mean, he really puts his own spin on it, and like just a fantastic fucking actor. And really, I bought his Joker. So, casting right there, but will they go with him? Most likely not. I guess to think about casting real quick, I'm going through my head. I mean, I'd also you'd really have to see like what they're going for with it. If they're going early 80s, I wonder if Franco, I mean, he could do a smile that'd be fucked up, and that's an actor right there. Franco could definitely, he could be funny, he could be fucked up. I don't know if he's ginger enough looking. You kind of have to have that. I should, because ginger is not the right thing to say, but I don't know. A redhead who would. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and think in my head over it, but yeah, this is some fascinating stuff. And for a show so heavy into Batman, also the final thing I'll say for me personally is that this really combines so many of my interests. I mean, I've always loved gangster movies since I was a kid. I've grown up in New Jersey. I've grown up around Italians my whole life. My father's second wife was Italian. So basically, I was in an Italian family for almost 20 years. I worked at a pizzeria. I've lived in Italy. I work at an Italian related place. A lot of Italian stuff in my life, and again, still in New Jersey, New York area. Scorsese is a god in this area. I mean, this is someone who influences so much of just daily life. So anyway, to combine that with the other, solid love of my life being Batman, it's like I'm just looking around this room right now. I have two Italian, vintage Italian movie posters, and I have a bunch of Batman toys. So this is just, and then filmmaking in and of itself, my separate, with the old Italian films, like just Scorsese aside, almost again, another fascinating thing to me, just the fact that you have a real filmmaker, let alone someone like Scorsese, a high list name doing something as psychologically fucked and twisted as the Joker. Fascinating to think about. Ooh, I guess finally, I just thought of this. It doesn't say it anywhere here in Deadline or anything I'm reading, but I've just read the Deadline and a couple tweets, so I wanted to go in fresh. I was gonna write some stuff about it. I'm like, I just want to go in fresh. There's so much to say about this. I'm so excited, as you can tell, that like it was pointless to try to like write something coherent. So, but final thing I'll say, Harley Quinn. So think about that. Do you do Harley Quinn in your origin? Maybe does he meet her at the end? Is she part of his origin? Does he meet her as a kid? Well, no, he couldn't meet her as a kid, but do you do the mad love stuff? Do you have to get him to Arkham? That's interesting to think about, because part of the mad love story is Batman capturing him. And again, going back to the Batman thing that I was talking about at the beginning, do you even have Batman in this movie? My knee-jerk reaction is a vote for no, but then again, putting Batman in a movie is always awesome. It seems sufficient to put the Wayne family in it and give them some kind of functional purpose, but references would be fine with me. And they said they're not going for like a recognizable Gotham anyway. They're going for an early 80s Gotham, and it'll still be gorgeous, but it'll probably look mostly like some fucked up looking taxi driver 70s 80s Manhattan, which is fine with me. I am fascinated. This is so cool. But again, yeah, the Harley Quinn thing, that's interesting to think about. So that's all I'm gonna say for now. Martin fucking Scorsese doing a Joker movie. That Every time I say it, every time I think about it, it is not only like a marriage again of things that personally for me are huge and amazing and part of who I am as a human being and my upbringing and the area in which I live and so many things. It's a marriage of, then the other layer is again a great filmmaker and a DC property, super exciting for me. And super excited for everybody and all this stuff. But then finally, Scorsese of all people married with the Joker. Because again, you could have Scorsese doing Batman, but that'd be weird. Or you could have, this filmmaker doing the Joker, and that might not work, but holy shit. Like Scorsese doing and for example, Mel Gibson is gonna do the Suicide Squad sequel. What? And you're like, yeah, okay, he could do that, but you're kinda like, it's kind of a question mark. It's like, okay. I don't think he's, maybe he's not still doing that. I forget. There was rumors. Maybe, don't quote me on that. That's not what we're here to talk about. But again, the marriage of Scorsese and the Joker, perfect. Yeah, so that is it.
And that was I, Benjamin David, your host and managing editor here at comicbookintl.com, talking about Scorsese making this a really exciting Joker movie. So I'm definitely, we're going to talk about this further in other episodes. I do want to do an episode devoted entirely just to this. I know that's what this was, but this was more, once again, just my reaction, initial thoughts, making it something newsworthy. I wanted to report on this immediately and get something out about it, just get out my thoughts. So if you guys have anything that you want to comment on, if you have any questions for me, again, this is something that means a whole lot to me. I would love to hear what it means to you guys. Your thoughts on Scorsese. Do you think it's a good choice? Maybe some people don't think this is a good choice. Who knows? I think you're out of your minds if that's not. I'm kidding. I'm open to hearing all kinds of thoughts. So give me your thoughts, your reactions to this amazing news in film and culture history, Martin Scorsese making a Joker movie. And that is it for today's episode of Geek News General. Again, this is just the first of many in our new format change, not focused only on Batman. If you want to, excuse me, hear more about Batman, all you got to do is tune into the very show you're listening to now. It's not like Batman's going away. This episode was about Batman, specifically because of the newsworthiness of it. However, we're going to continue with Batman. It's one of my main things. But if you do want to listen to a podcast devoted entirely to Batman, but specifically Batman Beyond, check out our other podcast, Comic Book INTL's other podcast, with me, Benjamin David, as your host once again on that show, and it's called Above and Batman Beyond, the only podcast devoted entirely to Batman Beyond. Find it on iTunes and SoundCloud, Above and Batman Beyond, and then it's got its own website, batmanbeyondpodcast.com. We've been having some serious interviews on that show. The guest list every single week has been, if not someone working on a book at DC or has worked on a book at DC for the Batman Beyond universe, it's a professional in the world of Beyond. We had for episode one, Dan Jurgens, the creator of Doomsday, the man responsible for the death of Superman, the birth of Booster Gold. Okay? Episode one, he is writing the new Rebirth comic for DC, the Batman Beyond Rebirth comic. So for episode one, we had Dan Jurgens. I could not believe I landed that interview. Episode two, Adam Beechin, TV and comics writer. This guy has written for Rugrats. He's currently writing Transformers cartoon. He has a show that's currently in development based on a character of his own creation in comic book called Hench. Episode three, Bernard Chang, then the artist, bringing it back full circle of Beyond Rebirth. No joke. Oh, and finally, last but certainly not least, is our giveaway for Batman Beyond, excuse me, for Above and Batman Beyond. Go to Batman Beyond Podcast, that's at Batman Beyond Podcast on Instagram, and on the August 11th post, you're going to see directions for our giveaway. That giveaway is for a San Diego Comic-Con 2017 exclusive Batman Beyond resin bust by Diamond Select Toys. That is a mouthful, but it is all part of what I'm calling a vidcast unboxing. If you're familiar with the world of Batman Beyond, instead of videos, they call them vids. It's an unboxing video that I'm combining with, get ready for this, an interview with marketing from Diamond Select Toys. So all of that is to preview, however, though, this podcast giveaway. All right. So that upcoming podcast, definitely stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for the unboxing video, but definitely don't forget about our giveaway. It's a free, once again, $60 MSRP, San Diego Comic-Con 2017 exclusive, Diamond Select Toys, Batman Beyond resin bust. This is the unmasked resin bust. Only 450 of these things made. It is literally a collector's item. It is by definition rare. It's the last time they're ever going to make them. These are exclusive items. So please enter our giveaway. Go on Batman Beyond Podcast, Podcast. That's at Batman Beyond Podcast on Instagram. You'll find on that, on that August 11th post, all the directions that you need to enter that giveaway. All it involves is doing a 5-star review on iTunes, screenshotting that 5-star review. That's all you got to do to win that amazing Batman Beyond Resin Bust by Diamond Select Toys. And then, of course, once again, stay tuned for our interview with Diamond Select. That's probably going to be our next episode of Above and Batman Beyond. Thank you for tuning in to Geek News General. Again, we are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, and geeknewsbatchnews.com. Check us out on comicbookintl.com as well. That's comicbookintl.com. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at comicbookintl. That's at comicbookintl. And for next episode, we have Yoko from Funko Marketing. That is right. If you like Funko Pop toys, if you like DC Legion of Collectors, if you like Marvel's Collector Corps, if you like Star Wars Smuggler's Bounty, if you like, what is the new Disney box that they have, the Treasure Box or whatever the heck it's called for Disney, Funko is taking over the world of toys, and I am interviewing Yoko from Funko Marketing. So super excited. We're going to talk about the Batman the Animated Series themed DC Legion of Collectors box that came out last month, July 2017. Yoko has been super busy. We're going to talk about Con. We're going to talk about the new store that's opened up. Hopefully, I don't know if she can talk about that, but I do want to ask her. She's been very busy opening up the new Funko store. If you haven't seen this online, you got to check it out. That new store looks nuts. I think I just want to move in there. And then when they open the new Star Wars park, move directly from the Funko. Probably I'll just move into that little Arkham jail that they have set up in there, little Arkham Asylum Funko Pop setup. I'll move straight from there to the Star Wars park in Disney World, because where else would any person live unless they made a Gotham City in Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey? That would be super awesome. Other than that, super awesome places to be. And anyway, back to Funko. We're having Yoko from Funko. I spoke with Yoko. If you want to hear another conversation with Yoko that I have had about Funko Batman, go back to our, I think it's episode 1 on this run of, it'll be Geek News, Bat News back then. But that was one of our first episodes at live from New York Toy Fair 2017. We talked about upcoming DC Legion of Collectors boxes. We talked about upcoming waves of figures. And now that stuff has all come out, which is pretty exciting. So we'll get to follow up quite literally on the conversation that we had at Toy Fair based on the time that has gone by since. And again, we'll talk about Con and some other fun stuff. Thank you again for listening to Geek News General. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Benjamin David. Podcast art by Courtney Delenn Slater at CDS Graphics on Instagram and at CDS _ Graphics on Twitter. Geek News General is not an official production. DC Comics, Warner Brothers, Batman, or any other company, property, and or license mentioned on this recording on comicbookintl.com or on geeknewsbatnews.com. The thoughts and opinions shared by the participants of this podcast are theirs and theirs alone, and therefore do not represent the companies or organizations they happen to work for.